We say good morning and welcome to Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch, a funny dad in his own right. Hi, Mayor.
Good morning. I don't know if my kids would agree.
How are you today, Mayor?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Doing well, thank you. Not too bad. We are certainly getting there in the weather department, which is nice.
It is nice.
Absolutely.
We'll take it.
Can we talk a little bit about budget season, Mayor? Not only is it spring, but it's time to put the new budget together.
Do we have to?
Well, yeah. It's not, yes, as you say, sexy, but it's important.
It is that time of year, yeah. And we've actually internally been putting together the documents for a little bit of time. I still have some meetings to go with some of my department heads. Essentially, what we do is I send out a memo to all the department heads with the boilerplate, suggesting that they all fill it in with no changes, and then they meet with me on requests for changes. In other words, increases when I say changes.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And so, you know, that process continues. We usually present the first Monday of May, which I anticipate we'll do again this year. I mean, there's tweaks here and there. For example, there's some challenges on, just like the economy right now, we're dealing with some of the increases in prices. Well, that's true of a number of areas. And for example, our fuel, gasoline, diesel, all that is up in August. Now, the timing couldn't be worse for our contract to be up for fuel for all our fleets, fleet vehicles and trucks and so forth. So there'd definitely be an increase in that line. That's an example. I mean, you go across the board and energy's up, so lines on gas and oil and on heating, et cetera. Electricity is up. You know, it's funny, we talk about efficiencies of new buildings and all the best systems, but we use so much more power today with all of the, obviously, all the devices we have and computers, and so it's a challenge, but, you know, I think we do it as good as any community in Massachusetts as far as delivering services and meeting people's needs as best we can as their local government is charged to do. So more to follow, but nothing crazy in this budget.
And contracts are up this year too, isn't that right?
Yeah, we're actually in negotiations now, so I'm probably going to put a reserve for appropriation in the budget. And as we settle with them, then we can transfer them directly into the departments.
I see.
Because I don't think we might be settled with some of them before the fiscal year, but as you know, the budget's got to be presented by May, at the beginning of May. Mm-hmm. So we might make changes before the budget is finalized with the council if we do strike some agreements on the contract side.
Okay. Is it too soon to talk about the impact on property taxes?
No, I mean, let me say this. Yeah. Cities and towns, all municipalities in Massachusetts, every year go up under what's called Proposition 2.5. We're allowed to go up 2.5% on the total levy. Now, we haven't done that in most of my years. In fact, we have about $40 million in excess levy capacity, which means we don't tax to the max like most communities. If you looked at the communities all around us, Milton, Weymouth, Braintree, they tax to the max under their level, under their levy, rather, within the formula of 2.5. We don't do that. I don't anticipate doing that again this year. So we leave a lot of money on the table, and some of our outside advisors don't like that. The flip side is, you know, we try to hold the line, present a lean budget, and we understand that, you know, nobody likes to pay taxes, I get it. But the reality is that most services that people deal with in life happen at the local level, not at the federal or state level. So you get a good bang for your buck, in my opinion, for local taxes, whether it's schools, whether it's, you know, 911 or library services, parks, senior services, veteran services. You know, it's all here, and I think we do it pretty well and very efficiently.
Can we talk about something of a little lighter topic, Mayor?
Sure.
First Lady Abigail Adams.
You think that's a lighter topic?
Well, a different topic. How's that?
Well, let me say a couple things on that, Joe. Yeah. First of all, there was no intent to slight Abigail in any way, shape, or form. There's a couple of things that went on during the last several years. One is, you know, we built the promenade, the Hancock Adams Common, that beautiful park. We had talked about in the future to do something for Abigail and something for John Quincy Adams. And I would add Louisa Catherine to that mix, by the way, John Quincy Adams' wife. She was no slouch. And, you know, we thought we'd be further along with the T station, so that quadrant of the park potentially could have been where one of those statues or both of them could have been placed. But the reality is that that has not come to be yet. We're actually getting close to, I think, what will be a tremendous development opportunity at the MBTA station. But we don't know what the elevations will be, how the transition will be from the common to the T, and the other developments in that site. So for obvious reasons, we stayed away from that corner. And then as we developed the Performing Arts Center concept, the idea was, well, maybe we do that for the First Ladies. We could do two beautiful sculptures in the lobby. And but that's a couple of years off. So when I heard from a number of folks whom I truly respect in our community, a number of very distinguished females who pointed out to me that that's too long, that Abigail should be here in the heart of the downtown. She was a founding mother, just as John Adams and John Hancock were founding fathers. So we did come up with an agreement the other day. I met with, let me say, six delegates from the group that had organized the informational protest at City Hall, and we had a good meeting. It was very productive. I appreciate their input, and so we'll be just adjusting. I've instructed the sculptor, Sergey, to begin that process for an Abigail monument statue here right in the Hancock Adams Common. I'm now working with Rich Houghton from Halverson. That was the landscape design company that really we worked with to come up with the Hancock Adams Common to place her in a beautiful spot within the common here. So we'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks, but that's the latest and greatest on that wonderful, wonderful founding mother, Abigail Adams.
So creating a new statue or using the current?
Creating a new statue.
Really?
The two statues that were done by the partnership many years ago, Mr. Cohen has asked the Park and Recreation Board to approve the placement of those at Marymount Park, which has an Adams family connection as well. And quite frankly, Joe, the two statues that are in the common here of Adams and Hancock are much larger in stature.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think, you know, to put Abigail down here among those, she might look de minimis. Hmm. And I think it makes sense to have something of the similar heroic size that these gentlemen have. So so that's the plan.
Wow. How will that be funded, Mayor?
Oh, leave it to the wizard. we'll figure that out. But it's too important to let go. And but you know, we'll figure that out. There's funding sources that we can use for that, and we'll be working on the details of that. But the sculptor has begun. He's already had conversations with our gem of a historian, Ed Fitzgerald and Alexandra from Quincy Historical Society, and they provided the Sergey a lot of background on Abigail and pictures and portraits and. So he has a little bit more to work with, just as he did with Adams and Hancock. So it's exciting. I really think the goal is by this fall that we dedicate a new statue to Abigail here, right in the heart of the common.
Wow. Will it be similar to the old one with John Quincy by her side?
No. I think we'll deal with John Quincy later.
Okay.
I think that's a nice concept. But I think she deserves. She was much more than a mother. Though that was a very important role for her. And I think that John Quincy deserves his own as a president, so it'll be Abigail on her own.
Wow. Another bronze?
Another bronze.
How much will that cost, Mayor?
Oh, I don't know yet.
Okay.
I've never been overly concerned about a very good project like this. We'll figure the cost out.
Okay. Wow. Well, breaking news. There you go.
Breaking news with Joe Catalano.
So somewhere in the common, I'm assuming there'll be a ceremony. I see there's something going on every month at the common this year, actually.
Yes, we've kind of livened things up again, hoping that you know, the weather is with us and the pandemic is behind us. So this is what it was built for people to come and enjoy. So we've obviously, as you mentioned, we're programming it for the coming months, the good weather months.
Yes. And Quincy 400 is not far off, actually, so I'm sure that's...
No, it isn't, and we're meeting again, and you know, there's a lot of buzz around the Performing Arts Center. That was one of the main goals to have in place for the 400th, and I think we're going to accomplish that, so it's good stuff.
Interestingly, in the Quincy Historical Society's, you know, their Quincy Book of Days, today, back in 1975, Mayor Walter Hannon celebrated the 350th anniversary by slicing an almost 6,000-pound cake from Montilio's.
That's right. I think they also had the Constitution come through the city.
Ah.
State Constitution. The kids came out from the schools waving flags. And John Graham, who was once pastor at the First Parish Church, he was very involved in organizing. I think they called it Quincy Heritage 350 back then.
Okay.
They had certain china plates made. There were a number of memorabilia items from that era.
Mm-hmm.
I miss Walter, by the way. Walter Hannon was a great guy. Certainly a good mayor, but a really good guy. I miss him. We used to chat a lot about issues.
Sure. Good to talk to you, Mayor. I appreciate our chats.
My pleasure, Joe. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye now. Yeah,
bye-bye.